Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Three-hour edition of Oilers Now. You know what they say? There's only one thing better than 6.5 hours of Bob Stauffer on the air. That's 7.5 hours. Not even I can talk that much, though. I will tell you that guests on Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. As we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, we welcome back to the show, courtesy of Mid-City Construction Management, Elliot Friedman. Mid-City specializes in underground construction, and they're currently looking for an underground foreman to join their team. Apply today at mid-city.ca. Elliot Friedman on the River Cree Resort Casino. Hello, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm just about to do some power washing, Bob, so I'm good.
That's what you do to sort of de-stress, declutter?
Yeah, I do some power wash and clean up stuff here and there. Yeah, the power washer is an excellent stress remover, I have to say. It's very good.
If I made your sort of money, I would be having some. I'd be outsourcing that, let me tell you.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not in Chris Cuthbert territory. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, like I said, it's a good stress remover. It's like power washing, it gives you a feeling that you're really doing something. You've got an instrument of force in your hands. I kind of like that.
Well, you know what they say. Some guys drink to deal with stress. Other guys womanize. Some guys gamble. You do power washing. So you are
power washing.
There
yeah.
you go. All right. From a pure theater perspective, Wednesday night, as you were watching that game between Edmonton and Calgary, especially by the end of the second period, what were you guys thinking?
I was thinking it was fantastic. I was thinking it's exactly what we need. You want games like that. You want energy like that. You want emotion like that. You want excitement like that. I'm sure it was probably a little too exciting for a couple of the organizations involved, but I don't know. Like, obviously, the Oilers fans didn't like the outcome or the result, but in terms of how we got there, it's exactly what you want and need. It was great for the game, I thought.
Yeah, it was a fun one. There was no question. Are you backing up currently right now, Elliot, by chance? It sounds like...
No, you know what? I just got in my car because I have to go pick up the power washer.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. It is about... there we have it. So it was great theater. And it was, you know... did the score flatter Edmonton, Elliot?
It did. Like honestly, if that was... If Markstrom was halfway to himself... It's probably a blowout. I mean, you know, we did a thing at the end of the game. I think there were 7 goals in that game, Bob, that went in off the goalie and deflected in. And that went both ways. But, the reason that game got closer, Calgary was all over you guys from the beginning. You guys didn't have a great start. I know Smith takes the heat because he's the guy in goal, but you guys weren't very good in front of him. And really, the reason you got back into it the way it was is because Markstrom clearly was not himself. And, you know, and to be honest, McDavid dragged you guys into it like he does. However, I think in an overall play point of view, you guys were sloppier than you have to be. And, you know, you got to be a lot better tonight. Like, this Calgary team, they can score, and a lot of different guys can score. They have their top line's been dynamite the last few games. Goudreau's been really humming, but they're deep, and you're going to have to be a lot better if you're going to have a chance to win this one tonight.
Well, one of the problems that Edmonton has is they are not built. There's a couple teams the Oilers had problems with, and you know what? you can sit there and say, well, wait a sec, Stoff. Edmonton went 2-2 against Calgary this year. Flames outshot Edmonton in all four games. And Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen each played a factor in Edmonton getting victories at home. One probably turned out to be a bit of a stay of execution for Dave Tippett. That's another story for another time. But the reality of the situation is Calgary has had, you know, they've had the territorial dominance between the two teams this year. And they've also had the physical impetus, which is a concern. And I'm not sure, Elliot, based on what Edmonton has in their organization at this time, whether or not that's even an option to match up with. Don't get me wrong, you still got to compete if you're a smaller player, all those other things. But I wonder whether or not Edmonton has to look at maybe inserting some different personnel here to counterbalance an obvious physically aggressive Calgary squad. Your assessment of that?
Well, I think Cassian has to be more engaged. I mean, like, do you guys really have anybody who isn't playing who's that kind of a physical specimen that they can make a difference? No. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you change your lineup, you're not necessarily bringing somebody in who's going to be able to handle that.
No, that's what I'm... They got to go with speed. They got to go with speed. Like, it's interesting. Holloway, I don't think Holloway's playing tonight, but he was on the ice with the main group, and I wonder whether or not if they fall down 2-0 here, if Holloway becomes a legit option. What I'm saying is put more speed in the lineup because you can't match the toughness. Concede that and try to beat him another way.
Well, that's the thing with Calgary, and that's the thing that they've done really well is that the Flames can play you any way that you want to play them. You want to play them tough, they'll play you tough. Like, if you looked at the last series, Tkachuk was on tilt early in that series, and I thought the Stars did a really good job of exploiting that, and then finally Lucci said enough of this stuff. And Tkachuk just said, you know what, I'm going to play, and he got a lot better. I think with Calgary, they can play you fast game, they can play you big game. It's a big challenge. I think for one thing, Cassian has to be more impactful. I think he's one of the few people that can match Calgary with that. And I think also he's a guy that could actually affect Calgary with that to some degree. I just didn't think he was impactful enough game one. Kane can obviously do that too, but you guys also need Kane to score. Like, you can't have him in the penalty box the whole series. That's going to really affect your offense. I'm curious today, Bob. Like, I saw the lines that were sent out. Do you think Yamamoto is actually getting demoted, or do you think that was just some weird placeholding thing that you guys were up to?
I'm not sure. I mean, it kind of looks like Leon Draisaitl, when Maroon was on the team, Leon did play right wing. So in theory, if they had Shore in the spot that Draisaitl's going to play in, they could play Shore on the right side and play Kane at left wing with McDavid. That'd be an awfully loaded up line. Nugent Hopkins will pull Yarvi and Hyman. I think that Hyman's work rate is such that he can, like, I think Nuge is playing through a little bit of an illness, and he missed a couple days of practice. Also, for me, Elliot, because he plays both PP and PK, I think sometimes maybe the 5-on-5, he doesn't have enough gas going, and it's really noticeable when he's a little under the weather. There's a possibility Yamamoto is there with McLeod to try to create something from a third line. That is a possibility. But it's also entirely possible that Jay's playing a misdirection game in terms of what he rolled out this morning at practice.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what you guys come up with tonight. Like, there's no question to me that, I was watching McDavid the other night playing 27 minutes, and it kind of reminded me of, Vinny LeCavalier and Marty St. Louis sometimes, and under John Tortorella in Tampa. I remember they played a series against New Jersey, and they were playing 26 minutes in the first couple of games. And, I remember asking Tortorella, can you do this? And he says, we have to. Like that's the way that we were. The only chance we have to win at that time, and this was after they'd won their cup, is those two guys got to play that much. And I just wonder if McDavid's going to keep getting thrown out primarily with his two big line mates. But I wonder if you're going to see him, if he's going to play 27 minutes, Bob. you know he's going to have to play with a few different combinations, yes. And I wonder if that's what Woodcroft is setting up.
You can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. The Oilers had one hit against the top six forwards of the Calgary Flames. Sure. Connor McDavid led the Oilers with five hits in that game against Calgary. Both of those statistics are an issue for me for the Oilers. They got to find a way, given that Lucic was Michael Stone was playing Connor McDavid hard. Michael Stone was playing Connor McDavid hard. You know how this works, Elliot. They got the toughest team in the league. I know Nashville had the most fights. Calgary's got the toughest team in the league. And it empowers all those other players to lean on Edmonton's best guys. And the Oilers have got... I'll ask the listeners. Do you want to see the Oilers players start pounding some of Calgary's better guys back, specifically Goodrow? It starts, like, and I know he's tough to hit, but you can't give, when they're sitting there drilling McDavid every chance they get, I think there needs to be the requisite response. You know what I'm saying, Elliot?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I think the challenge, Bob, is what's the identity of your group?
Yep.
And I think that you have to kind of remember that at the same time, Bob, is you have to be what you are. And, you know, there's very few teams in the league that are built that way anymore or commit to playing that way anymore. And Calgary is one of those teams. And I think if you're going to play against them, on some level, you have to live with the fact that they're just going to do that and they're capable of it and you might not be. I think you'd love if the opportunity is there to hit Goodrow or whoever it is, you go do it. But if you're not really built to do that, it doesn't help you to do it. So I think, unfortunately, one of the things you're looking at when you're going to play Calgary is you're going to take more punishment than they are.
All right. Vander Kane has just wrapped up his availability. Here's a couple of his quotes. Gene Principe tweeting out, "If we don't give up 9 goals tonight, I really like our chances." That one comes to us from Vander Kane.
Yeah.
And he also added, when asked about Milan Lucic being on the ice and battling him, and Gene's paraphrasing Kane, he says, "We welcome him being on the ice." And that is a tested and true response when a team has a heavy out there, a bottom six heavy against top six players. The line is, of course, we want him on the ice, but I did think, Lucic landed a big hit on McDavid. He pounded Russell once in the corner. He pounded Barry. He was, and again, Calgary is built that way. Again, back to, it was wild. I don't know the funny thing is, Elliot, when the Oilers scored to make it 6-6, I looked at Jack and I said, they got to keep it at 6-6 here for 4 or 5 minutes. They have to, because they will not win the game if they give up another quick one coming back from that. And sure as you know what, that happened. So, but, I mean, when's the last time you had a game?
I did not think there was any chance that game was going overtime.
Yeah, me neither. When's the last time you had that much? Like, you guys must have just been going nuts sitting there in the studio watching this thing live, because I can tell you in the building it was crazy.
I loved it. You know, I loved every second of it, Bob. You know, I texted Dave Amber and Kelly Reed, who were there, and I said, I'm jealous of you guys. I would love to be there and listening to all of this. And, you know, it's fun. You know, I know the Oilers fans didn't like the result of game number one, but, you know, that's what we all want to see. I thought Sutter's quote was great, just about how fantastic this is for hockey and how fantastic it is for long-suffering Canadian hockey fans. I really believe that. I think this is what we all want to see. And to be honest, in a lot of ways, Bob, I don't care who wins. I just want to see a great series. And, you know, we know that one Canadian team is going to be in the Stanley Cup semifinals. There's a lot to like about it.
All right, let's switch focus with some news and notes around the league. Rick Bowness, it's official, and I think we all knew this was coming. Does Rick Tocchet end up at the top of the chart for Dallas, or do you think they get in on Barry Trotz?
Well, you know, I think that the one thing right now, I think the Stars have had interest in Tocchet in the past. We'll see. I could see them going to Trotz too and seeing how, you know, he feels about this. You know, there was a report that Trotz was meeting with Philadelphia today. I don't believe that is true, but I still do think he's going to meet with them. And I think he's very, very high, if not number one on Philly's list. And as you know, Bob, the history is that if Philadelphia is interested in someone, they rarely lose. So I think that's going to be really interesting. Like, I think Barry Trotz has a lot of options. He's got Winnipeg, obviously. He's got Philly. I still think he's going to meet with Vegas. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit and Chicago are kicking around there, too. And I do think there's an opportunity for him to move into management in Nashville, potentially. So I think Barry Trotz has to decide what he wants to do. And I think a lot of other dominoes will fall based on that. You know, Bob, there's a lot of coaches out there. I was talking to one of the GMs who's hiring right now, and he said, he told me you could fill all 32 jobs right now, and then you'd have candidates left over that are still good. There's that many good coaching candidates out there right now. And I think the Trotz thing is going to settle, and then we'll see where we go. Now, on Joel Quenneville, I think there's some teams who want to talk to him. As it stands right now, he's not eligible. The league has to reinstate him. And I think right now what it's going to take, Bob, is an owner going to the league and saying, I'd really like to talk to him right now and seeing if the league will allow that to happen.
Would the Boston Bruins make a coaching change?
I think they've certainly opened up the possibility of it, have they not? Like, it's rare you hear that kind of come out. Now, maybe it shouldn't surprise me because it's Cam Neely and the Bruins, and one of the things I really like about Cam Neely is he's blunt and he doesn't really hide the way he's feeling about things. But I think they've definitely left that open to the possibility there. And, you know, I think one of the things that's kind of happened there is that Jake DeBrusque and the way he's played since he spoke his mind and said, you know, this is how I feel, I think it's given Boston a lot of pause and thought about, you know, is the approach we took with him may not have been right in the first place. And they might be reevaluating a lot of what they think about because of that.
All right. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going to stand pat. They ran into the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm not sure all of Tampa Bay's players played great, but give me your assessment. First of all, how is it playing out in Toronto that the Leafs lost in six straight years, opening round playoff exit? Haven't won a playoff series since Austin Matthews was six. I thought Toronto played pretty good. I thought maybe they deserved a better fate in that series, but I've said that before. And what about staying down the same continuous path, Elliot?
Bob, you remember that line from Mad Men? Not good, Bob. That's how it's playing out in Toronto. You know, I think the fans here are very upset and very disappointed. You know, like, I personally didn't think that was as egregious as a defeat as the second one to Boston or the one to Columbus or the one last year to Montreal. But, you know, people don't see it that way, which is fine. Like, they're fans. They earn the right to think the way they want. And it's been six in a row. And I think a lot of people in their jobs, if that happened to them six times in a row, there would be consequences. And I do think they are going to make change. I think they kind of underplayed it the other day. And I kind of understand why they did. But I think they're going to look long and hard at some things. And I think they're going to see what's out there. And if Kyle Dubas made a big move this summer, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Can't come all right. back with the same thing.
Yeah, Nylander's the obvious guy here. Is he not, Elliot?
Well, the one thing about Nylander, and I get it, the one thing is about him is that if you look at the way his contract is structured, it's a good value contract. And they would kind of look at it that way, but almost nothing would surprise me here. Like, put it this way, I don't think Matthews and Marner are going anywhere,
no.
And I don't think Tavares would allow them to go anywhere. So after that, I mean, you look up and down and see what you can do.
All right. And Elliot, this just shows you the nature of the world we live in today. After the Edmonton Oilers rallied from 3-2 down against, I mean, we had people calling the Oilers chokers when they were down 3-2 to L.A. I mean, they were never up at that series 3-0 or 3-1. And, oh, they're going to, they choke. So Edmonton came back, played two really good games back-to-back against L.A. Todd McClellan would tell you he probably got the most he could have out of that team, by the way. So after that, it was like, hey, they got out of a round here. Ken Holland did some good work. Cody Ceci was good signing. Holland said, let's wait and see what we have here in goal. We need Mike Smith healthy. All those things. Edmonton gets out, and everything was fine. And then, boom, Calgary pounds them in the opening game, even though the 9-6 score flattered Edmonton. And suddenly all the heat's back up. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I just think that these people, they love their teams, right? And it's hard for me to get upset at fans during the playoffs because these people pay all our salaries. If it wasn't for them, you know, we wouldn't have our jobs and people wouldn't be listening to these inane radio hits that you and I do together. I understand how fans are, and this is the time that you're like, I will say my mentions and my replies and my DMs, they're never crazier than they are now. Never. Like, they're completely insane, and people go totally off their rocker. But that's what the playoffs do. They arise the most intense passions, and we all love it. So if people are a little crazier at this time of year, Bob, I kind of get it.
Well, let's hope, Elliot, that we're sitting at about 3-2 next Friday when you do the hit. How's that?
I could take it.
So would I. That'd be awesome for the Battle of Alberta. Much appreciated, Elliot. Thank you for your time.
All right, Bob. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight, okay, buddy?
You bet. That is Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. Some guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse, whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring the night of the town. Every meal is an occasion at Roos Chris Steakhouse. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 5 till 10 p.m. They'll also be open Tuesday prior to the Oilers.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game 4 matchup against the Calgary Flames. It is 12:54 at Edmonton. I'll squeeze in some text when we return on Oilers Now. For you golfers, if you're looking for a bucket list experience, join New West Travel in Cabot, Nova Scotia on a 5-day golf getaway. Golf at the Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links. This package includes airfare via private WestJet charter with an open bar and premium meals, 4 nights accommodations in the Cabot Lodge, 5 rounds of golf in stunning Cabot, Nova Scotia, plus a New West golf tournament with prizes. Book now and get a $350 upgrade to premium economy. To reserve your tee time, call New West Travel or visit newwesttravel.com. Now, back in Edmonton tonight, the game, of course, is here in Calgary, but we will tell you that $5 tickets for tonight's Safeway Road Game Watch Party inside Rogers Place are on sale now at EdmontonOilers.com. Net proceeds go to the Oilers Community Foundation in support of local charities across oil country. The doors to Rogers Place open tonight at 7:30 p.m., and the puck drop is at 8:30. The lower bowl is already full, so purchase your seats soon. And the Ford Tailgate Party in Ice District Plaza will be open tonight for Game 2 of the Battle of Alberta. Gates of the Ice District Plaza will open at 6 p.m. with the game time scheduled again for 8:30. No admission fee to be a part of the Ford Tailgate Party in Ice District. Food and beverages will be available for purchase. The game will be broadcast with sound on the jumbo screen in the plaza. So there you go, a couple news and notes there. It is 12:58 in Edmonton. When we come back, he was a regular contributor to Oilers Now for 7 seasons. He's the lead analyst for Hockey Night in Canada. Craig Simpson, former Oiler player and coach, when we return after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.